phone number you want to give for people who are calling to perhaps offer you jobs?
I don't really have a number, but they can find me down here.
You'll be at the corner of Pacific and Church Street.
Yep, that's me.
All right, well, thank you very much. Again, your name is?
Chris.
Chris. Thank you. And approaching the infamous street poet, the cookie oil man, Bert Gregg. Bert, how is life here in Santa Cruz for you?
Well, I'm working and burrowing away, trying to be subversive.
How are the women treating you, Bert?
Submissively.
Submissively?
Yeah, just joking.
I see.
Santa Cruz joking.
Do you have a new book coming out or a new play?
I'm working on a new play that my good friend Jeffrey Stonehill urged me to write, along with Alan Berg. And it's a comprehensive play about the wonders of hemp.
Hemp?
Yes.
Hemp hooray.
Yes, okay. And that's what I'm burrowing away, being subversive about.
Now, your last play, which I saw up in Berkeley, was called
A Night in the Shakespeare Ward. However, it's not my last play.
I beg your pardon.
That's all right. The most recent one is a play about a young Indian woman, notorious in Mexican history, who helped Cortez. Her name is Malinche. And the title is Malinche, the Tongue of Cortez.
No sexual pun intended here.
I can't help what you think.
Of course not. Of course not. No one can. They've tried for years, but I'm beyond rehabilitation like some other people I know.
So I think I'm going to get off the hot seat because I see my press partner approaching.
Thank you for your moment with us, real quick.
Thanks, Robert.
All right.
See ya.
What's your name?
Lisa Franklin.
And Lisa, have you in fact been, should we say, engaged in, or perhaps the others in the store have had some problems with a street musician recently?
Actually,
we're pausing in this interview because this is a very interesting interview, which is a follow-up for those of you who have been interested in the case of Phil Free, the musician downtown, whose song Hospitality Nazis has not only hit the top 10 here in Santa Cruz. He refers, of course, to none other than the happy green-shirted hosts who roam the streets on merchant funding, telling people where, when, and how to sit, play hacky sack, have a dog, and so forth and so on. The eyes and ears of the Santa Cruz Police Department, with their headquarters at the Downtown Informant Center, right next to the Del Mar Theater. He sings songs about them. He has received 2 disturbing the peace tickets from the same officers, and this interview is a follow-up on that second ticket because I am in the store, and of course there was an interview talking to an employee of Meek's, a clothing store, which found Phil Free's music so objectionable that even across the street, through its own recorded music, it decided he was intolerable, and they called the cops and filed a complaint. That complaint has never seen the light of day in court, but it has been of some grief to Phil. And used for constant, he's been, it's harassment, folks. That's the bottom line. So here's this interview with the Manx employee and her views on musicians on the street.
His name, but the cops do.
Oh, really? What's that all about?
Only one man. He just has really explicit lyrics. Like, let's see, one lyric is, why do dogs lick their balls? And he screams it, and it goes right in the store, and customers complain, so that's the end of the lead. But he, you know, he knows his routine. He comes here for an hour, because that's what he gets. If someone complains, they get an hour to leave. So he gets an hour in this block, and he gets on the next block and plays for an hour in the next block. You know, it's just ridiculous. But I've never had any problems with any other street musicians that I have. And same with the store.
So in other words, generally when he comes, you ask that he simply play for an hour and then move on, or?
No, I call the downtown host, and they tell him they got to move, they have an hour to move.
Have you ever directly called the police or just the host?
I called the police, and they said they have an hour. Gosh, and they said, they have an hour unless you want to place a citizen's arrest on them, which you have to go to court and deal with court and see them and all that. But it's not worth it. It's not worth it, but he plays it, you know.
So you can tolerate an hour, in other words.
Yeah, I mean, I could tolerate an hour, but it's annoying because it's an hour, maybe 2 hours a day, because he'll come in the morning and then come in the afternoon.
Have you played recently, or?
No, I haven't seen him in the last week, but he wasn't directly in front of us. He was down the street, just beyond the top of his lungs, you know.
Have you ever spoken to him?
No, because I've been always been working, so I haven't been, you know, kind of across the street. But if he came in here and asked me if I didn't like his music, you know, I would tell him.
You'd be candid with him.
Yeah, I would tell him. It's just, it's rude to the customers that we have find it offensive.
Would you be interested in mediating problems that arise? There's a group called the Downtown Mediators, which kind of go back and forth with people who have conflicts and try to work things out.
Well, if I can't deal with him, you know. I think the owner has tried to deal with him.
Who is the owner here?
Jill Whitman. But I don't know.
You know she's
we
talking.
Don't know what happened with it. We don't know what happened with it, but no. And we've told him we just don't like the music because, I mean, it's louder than the music we have in the store. It's just really loud. Most guys are not that loud. He just got a loud voice. But, yeah, I mean, he wanted to talk to me. I talked to him. So, you know, we can't handle that kind of music there.
Actually, I interviewed him a couple weeks ago. He told me that he would, in fact, like to talk to you folks, but the police told him not to come in and talk to you.
Really?
Yes.
He didn't tell us that.
So in essence, he feels like he can't talk to you because he's afraid you might feel threatened. He doesn't want you to feel threatened.
Oh, no, I don't feel scared of him. No. I wouldn't mind if he came in here.
Yeah, he's not a scary guy as far as his personal relationships.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, no, I wouldn't feel, but, you know, I wouldn't feel threatened in any way if he came in here. I heard the police said that he'd go to Del Williams would call the downtown house and the police, you know, to get him out. But then they'd go over there and he would ask them, well, you don't like my music? And he'd say, no. And they would say, oh, no, it's fine. Because they don't want to make him mad for some reason. But if he came in here, I'd tell him what I need to tell him because we can't handle him in here.
That's fair enough.
Talk about the cleaner.
I'm with Free Radio Santa because I'm doing this interview. I'm with street musicians. You know what's happening around that issue.
It's kind of a hot topic. That one singer, pretty much.
So no other singers have affected you this way?
No. I think one lady who was just kind of annoying and it was like all day long, but we asked her to leave and she left, you know.
How do you feel about the downtown ordinances, the laws that make it illegal to sit down on the sidewalk 10 feet from a shop?
I think they're good because a lot of people out here, they're rude. I've seen it happen. I work here every day. I walk down the street and there's, you know, a curb. You know, if you don't have money, they cuss at you and they make up stories like my girlfriend needs a tampon. And it's like, go to the free clinic, you know. It's just total harassment. And, you know, I think there needs to be stricter laws because, you know, no one can, everybody's down here. You notice how many stores have closed down this past couple of years? It's just been ridiculous. Like 10 stores, all local owned. You know, all these big businesses are moving out now, but now the small businesses are going. And it's people like that. I talk to people every day outside of Santa Cruz and they go, oh, I don't go downtown anymore. Last time I went downtown, this guy spit on me. And I will never go there again. I hear these stories all the time. Oh, I've been down there. You know, now they're starting to come back. But when it still happens, some guy spit on me. I'm not going to go down there.
Okay. Now, are you saying that people should not be allowed to sit down near a shop, or do people should not be allowed to sit down and be abusive near
the
shop?
Be abusive near the shop. You know, sitting down and resting is fine. But if they're there 24/7, you know, totally harassing people walking by, making people feel uncomfortable to come into a store. I noticed when there's a lot of people hanging outside our shop, just hanging out, sitting down, customers won't come in. They will not bother coming in. They don't want any confrontation. Yeah, they don't want any confrontation. They don't want to come in, so I'll just go to the next store.
I don't mean to. I don't mean to take up your time either. I appreciate your giving me this information, and it's useful to the community to know this too. So, interesting looking wig there. The interview was terminated because another woman who didn't identify herself, and I wish I'd asked her name.
the manager that I stopped interviewing actually expressed great annoyance that I was interviewing her friend, her employee. I'm downtown talking to Dennis Johnson, a worker on the mall who concerns himself with problems of mental health.
Everything.
Not just mental health. So you're actually talking about another issue. You're talking about Medicare and problems getting served if you're a Medicare person.
Actually, it's Medi-Cal.
I'm sorry.
And what's happening is we have about five places that'll take between Aptos and Davenport that'll take new Medi-Cal clients, and everybody has to pick a primary care position. Doesn't give you much of a choice.
And you said that there were how many people involved in this? How many people are fighting over these, five or six doctors?
I'm not sure how many people in this end of the county. There's about 39,000 people in the entire county that are on Medi-Cal, and they're all going to have to find primary care physicians.
And there are only that handful of primary care physicians who do take Medi-Cal?
On this end of the county, yeah. And you're looking at Planned Parenthood's going to take 2,000 new clients.
Which is merely a drop in the bucket, of course.
Yeah, if they could deal with 2,000 clients. Think about it. How many times are you going to see a patient in a month if you got 2,000 clients?
Well, take an aspirin and go to bed.
Yeah. And then you have the problem if they're going to send people out to a specialist. What's going to happen then? Is your primary care physician willing to give up some of his money for you to go to a specialist?
Well, doctors are very generous that way. Well, I know that.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, that's... Medi-Cal's going to be a mess. It really is. The county doesn't have enough slots to take more than 1,500 people. And I don't know where they're all going to go.
Put me on the card, too.
I'm having a hell of a time getting the people into just the seniors, and most of the seniors have specialists, so I have to find primary care physicians that are willing to refer the seniors to specialists.
How many clients do you have that you are actually trying to help here?
I got about 200 right now, but that's only the ones I see on the streets and the seniors in housing. That's not including probably the 3,000 mental health clients in the system, or, like I said, the 39,000 other Medi-Cal clients that are in the system. It's going to be a long wait to see a doctor, I think, if you're on Medi-Cal.
Well, most doctors specialize in, as Tom Lehrer put it, diseases of the rich.
Yeah, well, this kind of proves that you ain't got much of a choice. That's about it.
Any other comments about life on the mall these days?
Nah, it's actually kind of mellow. People seem to be doing relatively okay.
Thank you. It's October 11th, 1995. Here's a report from the Community Homeless Alliance, and speaking is Scott Wagers, who speaks for himself about his lengthy sleep out in San Jose. This phone call came in yesterday.
Robert, this is Scott and Nancy calling. I'm glad to have reached the Huff line. I didn't know what you had said on the answer machine, Huff.
This is an old report from Scott Wagers of the Community Homeless Alliance in San Jose, which we're replaying because the San Jose Homeless Alliance for 3 months did a sleep out and may still be doing a sleep out on the steps of different churches throughout San Jose to dramatize the lack of single room occupancy housing for people there. It's a somewhat different objective than the open air shelter, Save Our SOS people, Save Our Shelter people who are trying to retain the right to be a self-sufficient, independent group camping over the winter on the property of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. But there are also similarities, and this was a protest, and indeed the protest sleepouts that continued for 3 months in San Jose are something that we might want to look at and gain some insight from. So, well, we have an incoming call here.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Who's this?
This is Robert L. Who's this?
Robert L.
You have a minute to make your joke, and then I'm out of here, big boy.
Whoa, a minute?
Yes.
Why do you do this control thing with me?
Because.
Because
just,
why?
Just because.
I'm gonna find a couple of guys, and we'll tie you up.
Cool.
And
make it women, not cool? Men.
Okay, a couple of females.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know, and they'll tie you. Actually, female impersonators.
Uh-huh.
And they'll tie you up, and then they'll probably have their way with you. I don't know which way that'll be, if it's one way or two ways.
Yeah, that sounds like something.
Are we on the air?
You have more than a minute.
Are we on the air?
We are on the air for the next 45 seconds.
Oh, so, well, what was the topic? Because I couldn't tune in quite.
Well, the topic has been the open air shelter, which you talked about on the last show.
Yeah.
Very, very eloquently, I might add.
Oh, thanks.
And also, the topic is, at the moment, you interrupted a report from the Community Homeless Alliance in San Jose, which will resume when this call is over.
Oh. Yeah, well, do you know what's going on with that?
With what?
With the Homeless Alliance.
Yeah, well, we're finding out. But what's happening there, Al, and you sound like you're are you still doing your improvisations on Monday night? Are you still doing your routines down?
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks. Can I plug it quick?
Go for it.
Oh, the Art League at tonight at 8 o'clock is a variety show. I call it a variety. It's an open mic, but you can do anything you practically want up there. Except imitate Robert Norris or Robert Flory.
Hey, speaking of which.
wait, it's 8 o'clock.
Yes.
And it's, we're on the air, okay, and it's $2, but if you see me, then it might be nothing, possibly, or, you know, I might have a couple extra tickets, I'd give you one, I'd get you in anyway. And, but $2, you can't beat it for $2. Of course, I never have the $2 because I don't use money, but that's my business. That's my religion or belief, you could say.
Well, then we'll hope that those who are interested in further relating to this particular line of inquiry will be at the Art, what's it called?
Art League on Broadway across from the ridiculous bookstore for nonviolence.
The Resource Center for Nonviolence. So
yeah.
Actually, what you can do is you can go to the meeting that Skidmark Bob suggested at the Resource Center at 7 o'clock,
right.
And then you can cross the street at 8. And after having been demoralized, you can catch a few laughs with
then you can moralize.
Uncle Al here.
Then you can moralize.
All right, anything else you want to add?
There's no smoking inside, but you can smoke outside. They don't chase you. They don't have the 300-foot rule.
Cool.
And you could sleep on a bench. You could actually lay down on the benches are very wide in the front. I've been accused of living there, but you know me. I would never do anything
never
like that.
Never, Al. Never.
Okay, that's it. Yeah.
Thanks, Al.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
And that, of course, was the incomprehensible Al doing his usual call-in to our Bathroom Spears broadside show. That's the show you're watching on 96.3 FM, the cool show, man, the cool show. We return you now to an old report from the Community Homeless Alliance. Scott Wagers and Nancy Nichols have been organizing homeless people in San Jose for years and successfully seizing some housing. And we have a Thanksgiving housing takeover coming up. We're going to have to turn that ringer off, I think.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Al, you're back.
Yeah, just quickly.
Make this a habit. What is it?
Quick. You got me on?
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot to say that we got a donation today from what is it? Espresso or Go-Go on Mission.
Who's we?
What do you mean we? We, the community.
Uh-huh.
And
you mean you got a cup of coffee? They gave you a cup of coffee? That's exciting,
no.
Al.
Robert, don't use this to make me look foolish or to look like a devious or something other than
never,
that.
Al.
Other something that I am.
You need no help in that regard.
Okay, and I'll meet you at lunch if you'd like. At dinner tonight. I'm having dinner. You're welcome to come.
Well, thank you.
The food court. I'm not going to mention any of the places.
Don't try to use the bathroom with a 3-year-old. That's my advice.
Oh, I'll get you in the bathroom, no problem.
Cool. That's
okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that last reference was the food court, as you may know, barred the child of Crow, a street van dweller who tried to bring his 3-year-old into go potty, and they told him no, and that was quite a controversy. And if you ever use the food court, you might ask them if they're still discriminating against street people. Okay, so returning to the San Jose Community Homeless Alliance report, check it out, and here you are.
I like that. Anyway, let me give you an update. Last night, Monday night was the last night of the sleep out. Went on for 51 days. It included, over time, about 200 people, but the maximum number that was sleeping out at any time was about 100, and the minimum was about 25. And as the sleep out got older, fewer people engaged, but we did get some tangible concessions. We met with the Redevelopment Agency Chief Frank Taylor, and he promised us a 120-room SRO to be built in the downtown area. We've actually seen the blueprints for it, but of course that's still pie in the sky as far as we're concerned. We met with some city officials, and we pressed them harder on affordable housing, and the civil rights of the homeless have been violated at times, insofar as the people got their shopping carts taken away a few times. We fought that. What else happened? We engaged in about 5 or 6 marches using the sleep out as a base, and we actually got the city to concede that housing is the answer, not shelters, and we've been pressing that notion really hard too. And we've been also, as you know, sleeping out at different churches, so we've been trying to get the churches to practice what they preach in terms of taking care of the poor, not only for the ends of charity, but for economic justice. So, there you have it. Last night was the last night. Today we're going to have a press conference to call it off. News media has been pretty extensive. Got coverage on Channel 2, and Channel 11, Channel 7, Mercury News, a few articles from there, KCBS, KPFA, radio stations, KGO. So, next activity for us will probably be a squat somewhere. We're looking at abandoned houses that could possibly be used to house the homeless in San Jose. We'll probably ask the owners for some of them. If that doesn't work, we'll squat in them like we have in the past. And we want to house the people that have been involved in the sleep out, because you know the resources are there in San Jose, but the will is lacking, as you well know. Okay, Robert, that's all I got to say for now. Thanks for calling. And keep in touch. We are around. And sorry I missed the radio show. Been, you know, busy, and I was over in San Jose all day yesterday. Didn't get your message till it's too late. But call us back. We're around. Hope all's well with you. See you, Robert. Bye-bye.
And you are listening to Bathroom Spears Broadsides, the unending chapter. A little music might help to pass the time here, although I think actually we have a little something else to listen to. Oh, yes. Before we were listening to a broadcast of a phone call from Keith McHenry, activist from San Francisco, whom I call Katzenjammer Keith, mischief maker, gadfly, vital activist in the struggle to reclaim democracy in San Francisco so that homeless people and poor people, for instance, can speak up and be heard, so that the priorities of the country, the city, the state can all be reordered. And then the group, of course, he works with is Food Not Bombs, which has people down here operating on the same concept, serving food to people Wednesday at Cathcart and Pacific at 4 o'clock, and Saturday and Sunday at 1 o'clock at River and Josephine. And I think we also have another food giveaway at Monday at noon, is it? La Familia Center? I'm not quite sure about that. They meet Thursday nights at 7:30. They're worth looking in on. They meet at La Familia Center, which is down on, I think it's East Cliff Drive, 314 East Cliff. Am I right on that? All you callers, if I'm giving the wrong number, the wrong address out, definitely call in and tell me. Well, before I completely collapse in a heap here, and I was going to play more of Keith's phone call with me, and here it is, in fact. I'll play a bit of it. It's the same phone call that we tried earlier today, which was disabled by cracks and voice drops, cracklings and problems of that sort. But it's so full of information, I think I found a segment of it which is usable. Let's listen to a little more of Keith from San Francisco.
Well, my analysis of your situation kind of comes home to me. You've been brutalized on at least 7 occasions. Is that the...
I've been beaten 10 times and had to require a hospital medical care. I didn't spend the night in a hospital, but I had to go to a hospital for medical attention for X-rays and stuff on four of those 10 times. Yeah.
And you've never been, and how many times have you taken this issue to court?
I've taken it to court every time. I have had 15 federal lawsuits again, and the only one that I did not have a lawyer for was this one that went before Claudia Wilkins.
And that was the only one. Well, actually, you didn't do too well on that. You did win it.
I got $700 for a vet's bill for Bear, for his...
That's your dog. Yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, and what was amazing was that the Federal Public Defender's Office had brought photos into the settlement conference showing the exact fence where there was no sign, having no sign there. And that was 6 months after the incident. And I had photos at the settlement conference that showed that there had... never been a sign at this location either. And then the police at the settlement conference showed photos of a sign, a brand new nice shiny sign, and then you look at the back of the photo, it turned out the photo was taken 3 days before the settlement conference. The sign actually was posted at that time. You know, so, I mean, she was aware that the cops had bold-facedly lied, at least on that incident.
And so she found in your favor?
And, well, she suggested that the government pay, you know, the vet bill, but and that I only accept the vet bill and not go forward. Well, by that time, since I was doing my own federal lawsuit against the Justice Department, and the Justice Department hates my guts, that is pretty dangerous to be suing the Justice Department, who was investigating you and trying to get dirt all over you, because then you're, like, you know, under oath all the time in things before the Justice Department. So I accepted it and just got out of it, because I'm not really a lawyer, and it is very hard to sue the Justice Department.
Well, it's amazing that FoodNet Bombs in San Francisco, which has suffered, as you say, over 1,000 arrests and numerous injuries and just constant harassment from under two administrations, Jordan and Agnos, and probably under Brown, I'm not sure.
Well, Agnos was on the was the main guy at the campaign celebration of... Browns, you know, and Brown says he's not going to arrest us, and Brown might be powerful enough that he doesn't have to do what the police say. That's an interesting trend. I believe that you probably don't necessarily notice this in Santa Cruz, but in San Francisco, for some weird reason, Frank Reed, who's the head of intelligence, deputy chief of investigations
with the police department,
with the San Francisco Police Department, he is now the one person always interviewed on TV about these matters, which what that means to me is that there's something going on in the police department where they want to keep it very close to the people in power. They don't want to have the actual press person is never seen on TV, like with the 911 collapse. You know, up here we don't have 911 frequently. If you dial 911, you don't get anything.
Well, let me ask you this, Keith. I mean, I myself am facing this case, which I'm going to be perhaps going to jail for, 2 months conviction sentence for serving free food with FoodNet Bombs in San Francisco. And we appealed that case twice to the Superior Court. We're going to continue to try to appeal it. We're going to try to appeal it again.
Right.
But the Superior Court, in a very strange decision, strange not because we expect them to be humanitarian towards people who serve free food, not because we expect them to be reasonable and rational and compassionate. No, none of that stuff. But this court made a decision that seemed to contradict itself. It had asked us, instead of saying, okay, you're guilty, you know, go back to jail, they said, re-argue this case because here's an issue you haven't considered. We hadn't even raised it. They had us come back, we re-argued the issue, and then they found against us, even though the other side had not put in any arguments on the issue.
Right.
So it's very strange. Yeah.
Well, that's...
It sounds like it's straight political corruption is what it sounds like. It sounds like the judges do not want to give a favorable ruling to people who are FoodNet Bombs people and trying to publicize the realities of poverty.
Right, and that's why I think that our organizing against federal judges need to be stronger somehow, and against all judges. And I'm not even sure what we should do, whether we should, like, try to overthrow their courtrooms every week and just disrupt every trial they try to have, or to have parades that mock the judges for being the sick, horrible human beings that they are. I mean, that's the thing that I think that our society, we can, in one of the areas in our culture that we can see, that the elders, so to speak, of our community, the people that are supposed to be the, upholding the moral,
rights of the community that are supposed to be these judges, and they're so pathologically demented and evil and dishonest, you know, that you know, the, basically, this, they're just adding one more level of argument towards why this system must be completely, you know, rejected and an alternative system be placed into effect. But there is a danger to that. I've noticed that, well, I don't know, there's an attempt at democracy amongst the militia members in Michigan. And they've declared that the local governments in Western Michigan are illegitimate governments and have set up their own governments.
Mm-hmm.
But what they've been doing is the same techniques as the current governments are doing here in California, which is if you come and you have an alternative point of view, they eject you from the meeting by force. Now,
and did you attempt to feed the militia in Michigan?
I didn't attempt to feed them, but there is like some attempt to connect with them. And the New York Times yesterday had a very interesting article about local governments being escorted at gunpoint out of their meeting.